Welcome back. 9 o'clock. Jim Davis along with the Buckeye Boy from the Bozarth Miller Chevrolet Buick Studios, the most trusted name in automobiles. A couple of Qdoba questions of the day. This Saturday, Final Four starts at 1:30 on the Team Sports Network. Houston against their Lone Star State rival Baylor, though they're not in the same conference. But State of Texas, you have to feel pretty good. You got two teams into the Final Four. And that matchup would be followed by Gonzaga chasing history, trying to stay undefeated. Will they square off against UCLA? First four team to make the Final Four. So who's in your championship game on Monday after the Final Four on Saturday? Also, the NFL owners have approved a 17-game regular season schedule. Do you like it? Dislike it? Text or call us, 970-242-1340. I'm okay with it. I understand, because we didn't really answer what our thoughts were about it last hour. Brian's not going to be able to join us today, unfortunately, but busy teaching at Ross State University.
Mm-hmm. The Ruffians. Busy academic day.
Exactly. Getting ready for spring kickball as well, I believe, for the Ruffians.
Yep, so. Painting up the four-square court.
Yeah, spring kickball and four-square. But I guess my thought about it is, if you're trying to deliver this narrative, you're the NFL, you're concerned about player safety, should you be playing another game? Probably not. But the players did. They were given the opportunity to reject this, and they didn't.
They didn't, yeah.
And so I'm okay with it, because if the majority of the Players Association felt like this was something detrimental to their health, to play another game, they would have voted it down. They didn't. Their own membership voted in favor of this. It's another weekend of NFL. I'm down with that. I'm fine with that. But then again, I do like the fact, at least for the Super Bowl, mm-hmm. it's going to move it to President's Day weekend, which ultimately that's what the NFL needs to have, that situation where you have a Monday off, because you're not going to get a national holiday. Stop this idiotic, we got to have a national holiday for the Super Bowl. You're not going to get it, okay? That's dumb anyway. You don't give a national holiday just because the NFL has their championship game on a Sunday. They cared about fans a long time ago. They just would have moved it to Saturday, but they didn't care about that. They want to play it on Sunday. Well, now you got a Monday off, at least for most folks, for President's Day, to enjoy watching the Super Bowl on February 13th. I think that's a positive. In terms of, if you're a player trying to chase down records, some of the things we talked about, Peyton Manning's single season yardage record, Eric Dickerson's yardage record, things like that in a single season, you're going to have a chance to maybe accomplish that with one extra game. But you're also going to see, kind of like with Week 16, a lot of teams that have already solidified playoff spots are going to rest players. It does provide the opportunity, one more game for teams to get hot to chase down the playoffs, right?
Yeah.
To get into the postseason. And with expanded playoffs, now an extra game.
Right.
Could make, while some teams might rest players, could also make for maybe a more interesting end of the regular season, too. You could have now even more teams that are in the hunt for the playoffs. Extra wild card, remember now,
mm-hmm.
that this could afford that opportunity. It could make for a more intriguing last, 3 to 4 weeks of the season with this extra game.
Yeah, it could.
If you're going to beat the drum about health and safety, it's a bad idea. But then again, I'm going to quickly go back. The Players Association voted for this. They agreed to it. They approved it. They ratified it. And so you can't cry about health and safety when guys in your own union don't feel like that's an issue. And they're looking down the road to make a little extra money. Like we talked about last hour, breaking it down. Some will benefit from the 17th game in terms of a paycheck. Down the road, they'll get more because the overall revenue share will be greater with the new TV deals. And so they will end up getting more money. Right now, though, for 2021, it's going to be a pretty narrow group of guys that make more money by playing in a 17th game.
Yeah.
So your thoughts on it today, do you like it, not like it? Text or call us, 970-242-1340. I'm fine with it.
I'm fine. I mean,
I'm fine with it. More football's great, but then again, we've also talked about, we always say, well, more football is great, but what about some of the Thursday night matchups in the past? I think they've been better this past season with some of the Thursday games that they've scheduled. I think that's a bigger overkill with Thursday night football than this is.
You could do away with Thursday night football. I wouldn't miss it.
Yeah, I would probably be okay with it. I'm pretty much dialed in. College football Saturday, you know, unless we're working a game.
Mm-hmm.
NFL Sunday, Monday if the Broncos are playing, or even just if it's a good matchup.
Yeah.
If Thursday night football went away, I probably would be okay with it. I think that's a bigger problem for health and safety concerns than this probably is.
Mm-hmm.
Because of the short turnaround.
You mentioned college football, and this is not quite a turnaround, but a little bit of a left turn. At McCann Sports Law on Twitter is following very closely the NCAA versus Alston Supreme Court hearing this morning.
Okay.
NCAA is getting wrecked by everybody on the panel. All of the justices are just absolutely trucking their argument of, hey, they're amateurs. Well, why? Because we said they are.
Because we've deemed them to be that.
Yeah, it's not been a good morning for the NCAA.
I just think that you're going to see the Power Five at some point. They're just going to say, look, we're going to go do our own thing.
Mm-hmm.
We'll manage name, image, likeness. We'll have stipend for players' compensation. We'll go do our own thing. We'll go negotiate all of our own deals. NCAA, you can have the leftovers of the Mountain Wests and conferences like that aren't part of the Power Five and the American.
You can
have them and have your own championship with those conferences. That's fine. We're going to go do our own thing.
You got like conservative judges are hostile. Liberal judges are absolutely hostile this morning. The NCAA is just not a good look. And you're getting price-fixing questions. You're getting antitrust, anti-labor fairness question. It's, if you don't like the way the NCAA runs things, you'll love the way this is turning out.
How much longer do you think Mark Emmert's in charge of the NCAA?
He's got to have pictures of somebody.
Something. Yeah, I don't. I just think that this is where this is heading. I really do. That the Power Five, we're just going to go do our own thing. We're tired of trying to negotiate and deal with the NCAA, because I mean the Power Five pretty much with the college football playoffs, it's their baby. It really is. And leave the NCAA to deal with everybody else in Division One, Division Two, and Division Three, and FCS as well. All right, so text or call us today, 970-242-1340, if you got some thoughts. Do you like or dislike the 17-game NFL regular season? I'm going to say I like it. Thankfully, like I said, since it's at this point in time going to move the Super Bowl a week later to President's Day weekend, which is going to be weird because we won't probably be here to talk about the Super Bowl the
Super Bowl reaction Tuesday.
Because we'll probably be off on a Monday.
Yeah.
Unless we feel so motivated to come in
and
do a show.
Nope.
The Broncos are playing in it, though. I don't know.
I'm calling that now. You fine. You're welcome to come in on the holiday. And work.
I don't know. We'll have to see. Well, let's not put the cart before the horse.
Taking that day off.
Let's not put the cart before the horse. We've got to get to be a 500 football team before
you make the playoffs first.
You've got to be able to walk before you can run. And you got to be able to crawl before you do those two other things. So.
The Cleveland Browns have won more playoff games in the last five years.
You have.
Also with an 0-16 in there, too, by the way.
You have. Facts are facts. I can't screw with
hashtag
facts.
#facts.
It's not fake news. That's reality. All right. Is this Brian?
It is. It is the play-by-play voice of the Ross State Ruffians.
Okay. Brian, Professor Roth, how are you today? I'm sorry. I thought we... We caught you getting ready for spring kickball for the Ruffians. We thought probably
painting
spring,
the four square court.
Yep, yeah, spring four square for the Ross State Ruffians. We thought you were probably busy getting spring ball underway for those two varsity sports that you have at your institution.
Now teaching history, man. Teaching history. So,
teaching history.
Sorry,
okay.
I usually teach school, I put my phone in another room usually, just because I don't want to be distracted by it, right?
It's okay.
And so anyway, then all of a sudden I heard a faint buzzing. Like, what is that?
What's
I was
going
like, oh,
on?
It's my phone. I looked down, I was like, oh, it's 9:05, Wednesday.
When
oh.
I learn school, I try to have the phone in my hand so I don't actually have to learn. So it's two sides of the same coin.
And it shows, by the way.
I can't yell at my kids to pay attention when I'm not paying attention. It doesn't work very well.
Well, we're glad to have you come on today. To kind of wrap up the basketball season, give us a little, you know, some insight into spring ball for the CSU football team. But I think for Nico Medved and the Rams, you're obviously number one seed in the NIT, hoping to win a championship in Texas. But that Memphis team played really well, or Memphis State, since apparently, you know, Penny Hardaway wanted them to have the Memphis State jerseys on, a win against CSU in that one, 90-67, and there was the third place game where Rams came up just short against Louisiana Tech, 76-74. I know the disappointment, number one, about not making the NCAA tournament, but still a sensational season for Nico Medved and the Rams.
Yeah, it was. It was a great season. I think this team kind of bought into the NIT, you know, once you get over that initial disappointment and not make the NCAA tournament. And then, you know, you're able to get four more games in rather than maybe one, perhaps two in the NCAA tournament. I don't know. I guess they could have made a run Sweet 16, but I mean, you know, that's chances are unlikely of that happening. So you end up getting four postseason games, and you know, for a team that's going to be completely returning coming up next year, you know, and playing in a tournament atmosphere like that was a terrific experience. And you know, got a win over North Carolina State last Thursday. You know, that's I don't know, North Carolina State had won what, five games to close out the regular season. They won at Virginia, beat North Carolina. I mean, it's a North Carolina State team that wasn't elite, but certainly a nice middle of the pack ACC team. And, you know, for the Rams to get a win there and then ran into Memphis. Memphis is so good. They're the most talented, best team that we saw this year by far. And how they weren't in the NCAA tournament, I mean, I guess the committee didn't like their resume, but what Penny Hardaway is doing there at Memphis, I guess you could say that they underachieved, but I mean, Jim, they have, what, 3 5-star kids in that team? The rest are 4-star kids. They get a couple of high-profile D1 transfers. I mean, they were about as talented of a team as, I don't know, maybe I've seen in a few years. And certainly that's a Memphis team that, if they made the NCAA tournament, I think could have made a run to the Sweet 16 or an Elite Eight. That's how talented they were. And they hit 14 threes and just overwhelmed CSU at that point and just pulled away in the second half. And then, you know, the third place game on Sunday, that was really disappointing from the fact that Colorado State led the entire way over Louisiana Tech. I mean, never trailed in the game until there was like 4 minutes to go. They were up 11 with 8 minutes to go. I mean, just seemingly in control of that game the entire way. But in the end, just couldn't pull out the victory. But great experience for this ball club, and certainly something that they can use moving into next year.
Voice of the CSU Rams, Brian Roth, joining us today on the Jim Davis Show on the Team Sports Network. Safe to say, Rams, with everybody coming back, with, you know, Isaiah Stevens and all those guys returning, that that for CSU, probably the favorite to win the Mountain West Conference. Would you? I think we'd see the coaches' poll next year, preseason poll. Rams probably at the top, or at least near the top of it.
Certainly near the top of it, and I think they'll have first place votes. You know, there's a lot that can happen, and you know, if you follow college basketball, you know that the transfer portal is just bursting at the seams. Like, I mean, I just don't know. Like, I think over 200. We're in it as of like last week, and that number's risen. I mean, because the NCAA has given everybody a free pass this year where you can transfer and be immediately eligible. So, you know, I mean, that's going to make a difference. Would San Diego State go out and get a couple of high-profile transfers to Nevada? I mean, you know, what does Boise State do? And so looking at next year, it'll be interesting. But, yeah, I think Colorado State, certainly if they're you know, not picked to win it, will be in the top three. And you know what? Colorado State still has one scholarship left too. So, you know, the Rams have the ability to, and I think they will look hard at, you know, the transfer portal. And Colorado State could use another shooter, another scoring guard, and then they could also use a little bit more length. And so what's out there, what's going to be a fit for Colorado State, I don't know, but I would venture to guess CSU will use that one final scholarship on a transfer from another Division I institution that will be immediately eligible. So, you know, you keep the core group intact here, moving in next year, you go out and you get an impact transfer, and, you know, I think CSU, I mean, the sky's the limit coming up next year.
I think you're a little doubt about that. Voice of the Rams, Brian Roth, joining us on the program today on the Team Sports Network. Spring ball for Steve Adazio and the Rams underway, and certainly one of the areas, you know, that the Rams are going to be focusing on as they get ready for the start of the 2021 season, Brian. Special teams were a problem last year for this football team, and the few games that they actually got to play and that you got to call last year, but that's one of the areas, you know, Todd Santeo right now goes in as the number one guy at the quarterback spot at this point in time. Just some of your thoughts about things that will be addressed and focused on by Steve Adazio and the Rams during spring ball.
Yeah, I mean, certainly special teams, for sure. There's no question about that. And he seems pretty much set with Todd Santeo at quarterback. Now, I got to tell you, I haven't been to any spring practices this year, just as we've been doing the hoops here. And, in fact, I'm going to have a nice sit-down with Coach Adazio coming up next Monday. So I'll be able to give you, and if we talk next week, I'll be able to give you a little bit more insight to the football side of things. But special teams were a disaster. I mean, and again, anybody that watched that Boise State game last year, you know, CSU gets two punt blocks that are returned for a touchdown. They get a block field goal attempt that gets returned for a touchdown. I mean, you don't see that stuff throughout the course of, you don't see that happen throughout the course of an entire 12-game season, and the Rams had it happen in one half a play at Boise State. So special teams were a big, big problem for this Colorado State football team, and certainly they have to get that addressed, and I'm sure they will. I mean, it can't be as bad as it was last year, Jim, so I guess that's setting the bar pretty low, but I don't think there's any question Steve Adazio recognizes that and says, hey, that just can't happen, because you're not going to win football games. I don't care who you're playing or how good you are, by giving up one, two, three special teams touchdowns in a game.
Brian Roth, voice of CSU Rams, with us today on the Jim Davis Show on the Team Sports Network. And, you know, we'd love to have you come on next week, next Wednesday again, kind of wrap up things a little bit and talk about what Coach Adazio discusses with you in regard to spring ball. So we're not interrupting history lessons or Foursquare spring ball at Roth State next Wednesday. Right. That will not be the case. Before we let you go, who's playing in the national championship in Indy on Monday night? Who do you think it's going to be?
Oh, it's Gonzaga Baylor, right? I mean, like, I did three brackets, I think, with all my buddies, and I had a hard time not putting Baylor and Gonzaga in the championship game at, like, every single one. I think those two teams were that much better than everybody this year, and Gonzaga in particular, Jim, and, of course, anybody that's watched them this year or in the tournament here, I mean, they are so, so good that I think Gonzaga gets it done. I think they're going to go, 32-0 this year and become the first undefeated team since Bobby Knight, 1976 with Indiana. I think they will. But, yeah, Gonzaga and Baylor, I don't think there's any question.
All right. Thanks, Brian. I always appreciate the time.
All right, guys. Appreciate it.
We'll grab you next week. Take care. All right, Brian Roth. Right. Voice of the Rams. Likes Gonzaga. A lot of people do. We're going to see if we can get Tom Hudson back on tomorrow. I want to talk to Tom about, I saw this in SI, the Sunday game. Have you heard about the Sunday game that they play at Gonzaga?
No, I haven't.
John Stockton runs this thing, and it's all former Gonzaga players. It's invitation only. If John Stockton does not invite you, you don't get to play. You can show up, and he'll say, didn't ask you to come play. And John Stockton tells you to go away. A lot of former Zags go there and play.
Mm-hmm.
And over the years, and of course, most notably, John Stockton. This is his baby. And sometimes the parents of like younger players that are, you know, guys are NBA guys or guys that he's asked that are, you know, recent graduates, their parents will come to watch because it's all these great, you know, players like Adam Morrison and Dan Dickow and Stockton himself. And he'll tell them to go away. And this is even like the guys that are at his age that come, that their parents would have come just to see, you know, it's nostalgia and see all these guys playing. He goes, no. Nobody's allowed to come watch. And according to the story I read, you better be prepared to go play. Because they play with the intensity of an NCAA championship game or game 7 of the NBA Finals. I guess it gets physical. I guess it's this thing, but it's like Fight Club. It's very much like Fight Club that that you don't get to invite. You can suggest somebody comes and plays in the game. And Stockton has to sign off on it. And if he says, nope, I don't want that guy here.
It sucks for you.
That guy doesn't get to play.
My question for this game and John Stockton is, and I know this may run afoul of the parenting we have to do for some people, how short are the shorts that he wears at now his 60?
John's got to be in his 60s now.
Does he go with the short shorts? He just turned 59 5 days ago.
Gosh, I thought he was a little bit older than that, but yeah, I guess, okay, yeah.
How short are the shorts?
Got to be short, I would think. That's the history. That's the Gonzaga
Jazz history. Does he go compression shorts underneath?
Yeah, I think he probably does.
Probably does at this point. Yeah.
Yeah, probably so. We'll have to ask Tom about that.
Maybe not so much the
shorts. If he's heard about the Sunday game. Yeah. I'm sure he probably has, because Adam Morrison has played in it a lot. Mm-hmm. And so he's probably heard of it. But Tom would not get invited to play because he's not a Gonzaga alum. Mostly it's former college. I think it's predominantly Gonzaga guys. There are some guys from, I think, other schools. I have to reread the article. But just like schmoes like you and me,
not
going to get invited.
So do you think John Stockton pulls for Baylor or Houston to face his Zags? Now, here's the question, and here's why.
Okay.
John Houston Stockton is his full name.
I don't think he cares.
You don't think he wants a Gonzaga over Houston?
I don't think he looks at it that way. It's either Gonzaga or bust. I don't think he cares about his middle name, that it's Houston. No, I don't think there's any.
I mean, he cares about that. I don't think it matters.
But I mean, to him, it's about, he cares it's his middle name, but not that the Houston Cougars are going to. Well, if they play Gonzaga and they win, well, gee golly, well, at least they share the same name as my middle name. Mm-hmm. No, I think the guy's going to be bitter and ticked regardless of who they play if they lose to that team.
So old time with the boys weekend, though, if it gets some of the Houston guys, Hakeem, Clyde.
Oh, yeah.
John Stockton.
Well, Fly Slamma Jamma.
Yeah.
You know, I don't, maybe he would probably welcome those guys in.
Sure.
Okay, 923. We'll welcome in Mike Rice from 850 KOA. He'll be joining us next on the Jim Davis Show on the Team, Colorado's sports leader.
Who do I listen to?
The Jim Davis Show on Colorado's sports leader.
Whoever suggested that has got to be smoking crack and plenty of it.
Whoa. The Team. Get in the dugout with Rocky's voice, Mike Rice, on the Jim Davis Show.
And it's time to talk Rockies baseball with our good friend Mike Rice. Mike, good morning. How are you?
Jim, I am well. How are you doing?
Doing fine. Oh, it sounds so good, right? Opening day, Coors Field, fans will be back. It's, you know, not to the same level, obviously, as 2019, but for you last year in your first year calling the Rockies was such a strange year calling games remotely and all those kind of things that it has to feel so good for things to be, at least start the regular season kind of has a normal feel to it.
Yeah, I think that's a good way to put it. And for sure, it's a lot better than Jack and Jesse and I sort of being the lonely trio up there on the club level of Coors Field last year for all the home games. It'll be good, and it'll be interesting to see how this team comes out of the gate. You can't get much bigger of a test, and so let's roll the ball out and see what happens.
Who do you think will be, when we talk about, we'll just go all-star break. Who will be the surprise player that'll have a breakout first half offensively, or maybe get off to a great start on the bump, whether it's a starter or a guy from the bullpen? Who are a player or two, Mike, you are kind of thinking, okay, this guy could end up having a very special start to the season that maybe we didn't expect?
Right. He wouldn't be a surprise for me because I've loved the move and, you know, following spring training pretty closely, albeit from a distance, I love what C.J. Cron could do in this lineup. I really do. Now, can he hit 30 home runs like he did with the Rays a few years ago? Yes, he can. Will he? I don't know if that's fair over the course of the season to expect, but I think he will provide some much-needed punch and thump and production in the middle of that order, which, of course, doesn't have Nolan. So they're looking to replace some of what Nolan brought to the plate. No one guy is going to do what Nolan did. I don't think that's fair to expect at all. But I love C.J. Cron's presence. He had an outstanding spring. And, Jim, he is excited to have this opportunity to play every day, to make an impact, to be one of the regulars. You know, he's behind Pujols with the Angels. For whatever reason, you know, Tampa decided to sell high, if you will, on him. Then he got hurt, you know, a pretty good year with Minnesota in 19, and then got hurt after like 13 or 17 games, took a ball off his knee last year with the Tigers and never played again. So he's excited, and I think he's going to be fun to watch. I really do, and I think he's going to bring some production in the middle part of that order. I'm excited to see what Austin Gomber is going to do in this rotation. I know what the conventional wisdom says. He's a fly ball pitcher. He's pitching at Coors Field. But you know what? If that's how he gets outs, not every fly ball is created equal. I mean, not every ball that's hit in the air goes out of the ballpark. So, yeah, is that something to watch? Of course. And he can't, you know, he can't leave pitches over the plate that get crushed. But, you know, that's also a big ballpark. And, you know, there's plenty of room for fly balls to go and die in the gloves of outfielders. And again, Austin's a guy that is ready to be a starter on a regular basis. He's excited. He's got a good mix of pitches. He had a good spring. He kept things in check. He's got room to improve on top of it all. I think those two guys are going to be fun to watch.
Mike Rice, 850 KOA, Rockies Radio Network. Mike will have the call with Jack Corrigan tomorrow, opening day. Rockies take on National League West rival and defending World Series champion, the L.A. Dodgers, pregame at 1:30 tomorrow right here on the Team Sports Network. Scott Oberg had to undergo surgery on his elbow again for blood clots. Just when it looked like Scotty was trending in the right direction to maybe come back and be this team's closer potentially, now he has surgery once again. And, you know, I don't want to say that his career is over, but, boy, Mike, it sure does not look good for Scott Oberg.
It doesn't, and Scott is well aware of that, and he did a video call with reporters the other day, and it was pretty easy to know that he is well aware of the gravity of the situation and the seriousness of what he's facing. There were a few emotional moments during that 30 minutes or so that he spent with reporters, and they're going to miss him, Jim, and it just breaks your heart. I don't know how else to put it. I mean, here's a guy who has, you know, worked his way to the top of the game as far as relief pitchers go. You know, he had really become the guy in 2018 and 19, able to close, terrific setup guy, figured things out. And on top of it all, he is just such a good man. And your heart just breaks to see him go through this again. Hopefully the medical people, the doctors, will be able to figure out what is causing these clots. Hopefully they can be addressed. You know, if there's a way that he can keep playing, my guess is he would want to do that, although I don't know that for sure. But it's just heartbreaking. I don't know how else to put it.
Mike Rice joining us on the Jim Davis Show with no Scott Oberg on the diamond leaves a bit of a hole in the back end of that bullpen, the bridge from starters to Daniel Bard. What's the bigger concern for you out of these three areas for me? That bridge, the back end of the rotation, or replacing Nolan Arenado's, you know, offensive punch? Which of the three of those is your biggest concern going into the season tomorrow?
For sure, it's the bullpen, Rio. I mean, the way that group kind of struggled last year, aside from Bard, and the emergence, if you will, of Yency Almonte. I mean, if you just go by the numbers, it was the Rockies' worst bullpen performance by ERA in history, I think. And it's just they just struggled as a group. And I think they're starting pitching, even at the back end of the rotation, especially when Freeland gets back, whether it's Gomber at 5, Gray at 4, or however. I mean, I think that starting pitching is going to be good enough in those last couple spots. And even without Gomber, I mean, Chichi Gonzalez had a good spring. And now, again, he's still got to go do it in the regular season if and when they need a fifth starter, and they will. If he's the guy, whoever it is back there has to perform. But the bullpen's got to be better, and those guys know it. I do think with Almonte, with Kinley, with, you know, potentially, I don't know if Ben Bowden, assuming he makes the team, I think he will, but I don't know that for a fact. I don't think he'd be thrust into a late-inning situation right off the bat, but he had a great spring and certainly showed he could potentially have stuff to be towards the back end. They've got some options, but they don't have another Oberg. That's, you know, Almonte and Kinley are probably the two next guys. And both have pitched well and done it at the big league level, so let's hope that they're up for, you know, being that bridge to Daniel Bard, who should be electric once again.
And you're not the first person, or probably the last, to call Chichi Gonzalez, Chichi Rodriguez. You're...
I caught myself, though.
At least you didn't call him Chai Chai Rodriguez, like on WKRP with Les Nessman.
This is true.
Well, what do you think has been the difference for Chichi Gonzalez this spring? I mean, we saw moments where he pitched okay last year, but he's certainly, it's been a dramatic change from last year to this season, at least what we've seen in spring training for him.
He's healthy, Jim. And that's huge. He had the shoulder issues early in the season and then was on the IL for 3 weeks last year. And, you know, then when he came back, I don't know that he was able to pitch, but I'm not sure he felt great. I'm not sure the confidence was there. The mindset of when your confidence isn't there, you're less likely to attack. And he went out this spring and attacked hitters. And he was less worried about always being down in the strike zone. And just said, you know what, I can get guys out up in the zone. I mean, you can't leave pitches up and over the plate, but you can work the upper end of the strike zone. And if not, get called strikes, get guys to chase, get guys to expand, get guys to go after a pitch. And he did that with great effectiveness in the spring, and he just went after guys. So I know he is really looking forward to contributing. I think he still sees himself as a starter, but he said all spring, look, if they need me out of the bullpen, long guy, an inning, 4 innings, whatever it is, I'm going to be there. And I'm hopeful, fingers crossed a little bit, but I'm hopeful that there's a bounce back, if you will, because I think there's better stuff in him than what he showed last year for a variety of factors.
Mike Rice, 850 KOA, Rockies Radio Network, joining us today on the Team Sports Network. We kicked this around a while back. It was one of our questions of the day, Mike. We'll ask you about this. Trevor Story, 30 home runs, 30 stolen bases. Certainly the potential is there to do that. Do you think he will be able to get to those numbers in 2021?
Certainly he's capable. I think we all know that. And I think what will potentially help him is the fact that, and Buddy's talked about this all spring, Trevor's one of probably 4 or 5 guys that has the ability and the makeup to be able to steal bases and to push the envelope there. And just as a general philosophy, that's something Bud wants to see his team do. I think we're going to see less sort of the station-to-station and, you know, wait for the 2-run double or 3-run homer out of the Rockies. And I think we're going to see them make an effort to try and manufacture more runs. And base running is going to be a big part of that. We know Trevor can hit. We know he can hit home runs. And we know he can steal bases. It would not surprise me at all. I think the hard part, though, is, I mean, how do you predict that, right? I mean,
right.
So many things have to go right. Situations have to go right. You know, if the guys at the top of the order are doing their job and Trevor's in the 3 or 4 hole, then, you know, maybe there's some traffic in front of him, which then cuts down on the opportunities or the need to steal bases. So it's really hard to predict that, as you know, but certainly, if if things break right, he's got the ability to do it. It wouldn't shock me at all.
Mike Rice joining us on the Jim Davis Show. You talk about the possibility of traffic in front of Trevor Story, and I think one of those guys is Raimel Tapia. 2019, numbers weren't eye-popping, but his deeper and his batting average on balls in play was 341, jumped to almost 400 last year. He hit over 300 on the season, 321. He seems to have kind of found some comfort at the plate, hasn't he?
There's no doubt he has. And a lot of that, here's the thing to watch for when you watch Raimel this year. Is he taking the ball up the middle and the other way? Because when he is, he's usually pretty good. When he gets a little bit pull happy, or you know, he's going to roll some things over, and that's really not his game. Raimel Tapia as the leadoff guy, and Dave Bagaton even came out and said it on the record. He said, look, I mean, in an ideal world, we're probably not asking him to draw walks. We're asking him to swing the bat because there's some thump in that thing. And, you know, the question for Raimel is he going to be selective enough? And is he going to be disciplined enough to go up the middle and the other way? And when he did that last year after the slow start, he was one of their most consistent offensive players from, you know, probably about the three-week poll on to the end of the season. And again, it wasn't a full season. We know this. You have to sustain it over 6 months, not two this year. But I like what he can do, and he's another guy that once he gets on, he can move a little bit, and he'll have the opportunity to steal some bags himself.
You brought up Dave Magadan, and I read an article. I can't remember where it was. So I fail to attribute the source, but he says that to counteract the Coors Field effect, he's wanting them to be more aggressive on the fastball early on in counts. In spring training, did you notice, was there a noticeable difference in that for the 1-9 guys?
I don't know if the numbers bear that out, Rio, but I do know that there is an emphasis to not only hit the fastball early, but swing, I mean, hunt the fastball, and when you get one in the strike zone, don't miss it. And you know, that's easy for all of us to say, and easy, you know, to say that's a point of emphasis. I do think they had some better success at that. I do think their strikeout numbers were a little bit high in spring, and I do think that's going to bear watching. But again, you also have a number of hitters that are still young in terms of experience at the big league level. And go back to Trevor Story's second year. He struck out a lot. But since then, it's been a gradual improvement, and it's been better contact, better selection, and discipline, and all the rest. So I think it's sort of a twofold thing. You want guys to be aggressive, but you want them to be aggressive at the right pitches. And I know that they're working on that as a group. That's absolutely right. Dave has talked about that. Bud has talked about that.
Rockies Radio Network's Mike Rice with us today on the Team Sports Network. Opener tomorrow against the Dodgers, defending World Series champions. Ermon Marquez will go up against the Dodgers' Clayton Kershaw, and there was a time that clearly Clayton Kershaw was not only one of the best pitchers in baseball, he's always the best, you know, the number one guy in his staff. He gets a start tomorrow, which is the slot traditionally given to your number one pitcher, but is he really their number one guy anymore? Trevor Bauer comes over as a free agent. Walker Buehler's sensational. That's the thing for Dave Roberts now. Kershaw's great, but all of a sudden with the addition of Bauer, with how Buehler's pitched the last few years, Mike, all of a sudden Clayton Kershaw isn't the probably the best arm on that staff right now.
Yeah, probably not. He'll make his ninth opening day start. I don't think anybody's surprised that he's healthy and he gets the call tomorrow in the opener. That's sort of what he's earned. And there'll be a day probably when Walker Buehler takes over that spot for the Dodgers, not quite yet. I mean, you go back and look at the numbers last year and go back to the postseason numbers, Jim, for Kershaw. You know, I think it's a little bit premature to write him off. And I know you're not, but
right.
But it's easy to think that he's going to get lost in that rotation. I tell you what, he's still a darn good pitcher. Now he's got all that experience on top of it. Not that he needed it from last year to this year, but he's got the title on top of it. And he's still really good. Now, he has not been as sharp at Coors Field from time to time. So that'll be something to watch tomorrow. Can the Rockies, you know, jump on them a little bit early, or can they get something done? Because that's happened in the past. I tell you what, he's still really good. And he,
yeah.
But I mean, it's just, it's just, I mean, he's second all time in Dodgers history in strikeouts. He's right up there, if not at the top of the heap. He's got basically every postseason record as far as numbers go, which is amazing for that franchise. And he's right up there in wins and ERA. And Jim, he's got a sub-3 ERA for his career. He's been a full-time starter for 13 years in the big leagues. I mean, he's a three-time Cy Young Award winner. I mean, he led the majors in ERA for four straight years. He's got three Cy Youngs. He's one of nine pitchers to do that. I mean, it's incredible. I mean, we are witnessing a first ballot Hall of Famer, and have been for over 10 years. And look, I don't like singing the praises of the Dodgers all that much. I mean, I grew up rooting against that team. But at some point, you say, that guy is really good, and you just tip your cap to him.
Absolutely. Opening day tomorrow, right here on the Team Sports Network. Mike and Jack Corgan with the call from Coors Field. The Rockies start the season against the L.A. Dodgers, and Rockies on deck at 1:30 tomorrow right here on the team. Before I let you go, I have two questions I have to ask you, Mike, before we send you on your way today to continue to get ready for the game tomorrow. You didn't blow off your walk, right? You went on your walk yesterday.
Did you tell the story? Do people know what you're talking about?
No, yesterday.
Okay. I will self-reveal. So I went to text my wife because she had told me she was going to pick up the boys from school. Nobody cares about this, but you brought it up. And I texted, I said, I'm not going to blow off my walk today. I'm going to go, and I'll be back around 5. And I accidentally sent that to you instead of Ann. So the walk was fantastic. It was about 1 hour and 10, and I felt so good afterwards.
Okay, so did EJ have baseball practice at 5 o'clock?
No, it was postponed until today.
Okay, good.
I
wanted to know. I want to make sure you know that you got your walk in. That's important.
It is important.
Because we're friends, and I care about your health, so I want that. I also want somebody to pick up EJ from baseball practice. I don't want him left someplace.
No, Ann was going to take care of that.
Okay, so good. Well, that's always behind us mediocre men. There's a great woman behind us.
Oh, my goodness.
Who knows how to text, apparently.
And don't feel bad. Like, one time, Dave Yonke, Colorado Mesa's SID, I had a text from my wife. It was a bit on the sweet side. Nothing racy or randy, but it was for me fairly sweet. And I sent it to Dave Yonke.
Nice.
And I'm like, oh, sorry, Dave. And he had a good laugh about it. At least you didn't send me anything like that, so that's good.
No, I caught it right away. But I usually look after I've finished typing. I usually say, okay, is this going to the right person?
Right.
And since I had already started the walk, I just sent it. You know, oh boy, that's not good. Now Jim knows I'm on my walk, which is no big deal.
No big deal. You didn't divulge anything that was, you know, salacious or anything.
Go on a walk. Well, I try not to have too much salacious under, you know.
Yeah. Likewise.
Smart.
Likewise as well.
Yeah.
Well, Mike, have a great call tomorrow. I always appreciate the time you come on and join us. Thanks again.
Anytime, guys. Always good to be with you. Thanks.
Go Rockies.
You got it.
All right. Take care, Mike. Mike Rice, 850 KOA.
Got the
walk in yesterday. Yeah. EJ didn't have baseball practice, and I was going to ask him, is EJ the one that was crying in the car at the time?
Oh, yeah, long ago. See, I'm not the wrong person texter. I'm the wrong meaning texter. Like, I will text something and leave out a word or multiple words to completely change the context of the sentence.
I will misspell something, and I'll feel the need to correct it, even though it's still... the sentence makes sense because I'm just weird that way. I misspelled that word. It auto-corrected whatever. But yeah.
I'll hit up an asterisk with the correct spelling later.
Usually I don't send the text to the wrong person. Usually I do what Mike does. I look and see, but one day it was in the morning. I texted Kenda. And then later I look, I'm like, oh.
Yeah.
I sent that to Dave Yonke. And I do think an awful lot of you, Dave, by the way, I do.
Yeah. I'm pretty good because...
just not in the same sense as I think about my wife.
We're 21 years into the career now, and I've yet to curse on the air. I have an incredibly dirty mouth.
Now it's going to bite you. It's going to happen now.
You just
jinxed it.
But I'm pretty safe. And that kind of translates into the text. I always make sure I have the right person. But there are sometimes I'm just flying through texting and I'll leave out a word.
Right.
It's like, you know, It's bad. Yes or no questions always get me because I try to be more wordy than I need to be.
I do on occasion send you colorful language about something.
Yeah, Ohio State losing
to on the show. I said the S bomb one time. Mm-hmm. It was about Evel Knievel or something. And,
yeah,
and I had to use the button on myself. Matt Meyer had to use the button on him one time.
Yeah.
We talked about the Chris Britt story when Kansas City,
the Kansas poopy,
became Kansas bleepy.
Yep.
You know, occasionally a D or an H word comes out. I'll say that.
Mm-hmm.
Occasionally on the program.
Yeah, I say those.
But the real serious ones.
I don't wade into Carlin bit territory on the air.
Yeah, same here. All right, let's get, because we're running behind here. It's been a great morning.
Yeah.
It's been a lot of fun. This day in sports history. 1909, baseball's National Commission rules that players who jump contracts will be suspended 5 years. Players joining outlaw organizations will be suspended 3 years as punishment for going outside organized baseball. 1923, the Ottawa Senators complete a two-game sweep of the WCHL's Edmonton Eskimos. So they won 1-0 victory to win the Stanley Cup for the third time in 4 years. Harry Punch Broadbent scores the game-winning goal.
He a Gordie Howe hat trick guy with that name?
I don't know. I think so.
Sounds like it.
I think Harry Punch Broadbent would probably, had a few fisticuffs. 1968, the American League's new franchise in Seattle chooses Pilots as its nickname.
For now.
And then that team eventually went to Milwaukee, become the Brewers. 1973, the Flyers tie an NHL record for most goals in one period, scoring 8 goals in the second period of a 10-2 win over the Islanders. Also on this day, 1997, Martina Hingis becomes the youngest number one tennis player in history. 16 years old, she claims her fifth title of 1997 at the Lipton Championships. Also on this day, 2013, one of the biggest upsets in the history of the NCAA Women's Tournament, 6-seeded Louisville stuns defending national champion Baylor in the regional semifinals, 82-81, final game of Brittany Griner's career, the 6'8 post player at Baylor. Just for you, 2013, Pete Weber ties Earl Anthony by winning his 10th major professional bowling association title, the 224-179 win over Australian Jason Belmonte in the Tournament of Champions. Just for you.
Pete Weber, sunglasses inside guy.
Yeah.
Not a fan.
Yeah. I have to agree with that. Unless he has some eye issue.
He's just a jerk. Sometimes I'll wear my sunglasses, but that's because I forget my actual glasses, like in the car, and I'm too lazy to go back to get them.
It's okay. Yeah. It's all right. I can understand why you wouldn't want to walk back to the car. 9:50, because you're lazy. We'll take a break. Might be able to squeeze in a little garbage time. That's next, right here on the Jim Davis Show.
The Jim Davis Show. They're idiots. Say what? On Colorado's sports leader, the team.
Welcome back. Jim, along with the Buckeye Boy from the Bozarth Miller Chevrolet Buick Studios. Have a text from Jude today. Personally, I love the 17-game schedule. As a season ticket holder, I now only have to pay for one preseason game instead of two, and we'll have one more regular season game for myself or a friend to attend. As of right now, no additional cost. Keep up the great work. Good to hear from you, Jude. Thank you. Alex, amazing. My day is not complete without starting with the team.
Mm-hmm. Alex getting some Qdoba today, and Jude walking away with the small antipasto salad from Junction Square.
All right, very good. Very good. Got one from Chris this morning. I'm all for watching another game of NFL football, but what I wish they would have done was keep the layout the same, but every team has a Thursday game, then a second bye week to help keep the injury bug down. Well, I guess I think that they just feel that they can get through 17 games with just the one bye week. And this could be something that gets adjusted down the road, too.
Yeah, maybe.
It's entirely possible. All right. Very quickly, do garbage time. Going to get in very quickly this
morning. We're taking out the trash. It's garbage time on the Jim Davis Show on the team.
Oh, I love trash.
Mostly because it's just too good to pass up.
Mm-hmm.
Getting this morning, you probably saw the tattoo Bruce Arians, Tampa Bay Bucks coach, got of the Super Bowl trophy and the Bucks logo. Well, Tom Brady has decided to get a tattoo as well to commemorate winning the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, he didn't get one. But Brady tweeted out, he goes, looks great, coach. I decided to get one too. It is a picture of Bruce Arians holding up the Bud Light at the celebration at the parade.
Nice.
You have one very quickly.
No, I do not. But Patrick Mahomes should get a video of Andy or a tattoo of Andy Reid eating a cheeseburger as a tattoo.
Maybe so.
Right? To keep in the same vein.
He could probably do that. Maybe he will. Probably not. I don't think he'd I don't think Andy Reid would probably appreciate that.
I mean, Andy might. Patrick,
yeah.
I don't think.
Yeah. Patrick, I don't think wants. I don't think his girlfriend wants that either. All right. Our show tomorrow will be a busy one. Mark Johnson, voice of the Buffs, will join us tomorrow. Talk a little spring football. Also his thoughts about the NCAA tournament that's coming up tomorrow. All right, Jim Davis Show brought to you by FanDuel Sportsbook. The tournament's down to just four teams. It's Houston and Baylor, Gonzaga, and UCLA. So you've been watching from the sidelines. Now's your chance to get in on the action. FanDuel Sportsbook's hooking you up with exclusive 40-to-1 odds on all four teams left in the bracket. Even the favorites like Gonzaga and Baylor. That's right, and you can get 40-to-1 odds on any team to win this round. You could win $200 on a $5 bet. Still got my money on Gonzaga to run the table and win the NCAA championship. All you have to do is download the FanDuel Sportsbook app and make your first deposit to unlock exclusive 40-to-1 odds. The app, it's super easy to use. Buckeye, you've got it. I've got it. We're betting all the time on FanDuel. It's really easy to use, and when you win, you get paid in as little as 24 hours. So here's what you need to do. Sign up with my promo code. It's KTMM, so know that I sent you. That's FanDuel Sportsbook, promo code KTMM, to get in on those 40-to-1 odds for the last four teams left in this year's NCAA tournament. 21 and older, present, Colorado and users only, must wagering designated offer market, $10 first deposit required. See full terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. Get it now, the FanDuel Sportsbook app.